Our scripture today comes from Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. Reads, "Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandments there may be, are summed up in this rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does not harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as the daytime. Not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you that we can come here and find your truth, which is alive and vibrant today as it was the day you revealed it to the Bible writers. Lord, send your Holy Spirit to show us how best to apply this to our lives and to give us understanding that is beyond that of men, but that supernatural understanding which comes only through you. Father, I pray for myself that as I preach this morning, that I might preach out of the infilling of your Holy Spirit, that each of your people here might be encouraged and blessed, and that your name would be the one lifted up and glorified. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the preceding verses, it reads this: "This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants, who give their full-time governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor." We're supposed to pay everyone what we owe them. Except then we come to this part. It says, "Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt of love one for another." Anybody here ever buy a house? Get a mortgage? Comes with that house? Seems like the forever debt. Well, if all you ever paid on that mortgage, or a credit card for that matter, any debt that you have, was the interest and you never paid the principal, it would indeed be a forever debt. You would never pay it off. The debt would never get smaller. Now, we're supposed to pay all our debts except for the continuing debt of love one for another. Now, the interesting thing about that is that our debt of love is one which cannot be repaid. It's a continuing debt. But yet it's one that we need to make payments on. It's kind of like that credit card bill or that mortgage, which never seems to go away. Except that this one is a blessing. Now, those can provide a blessing. I mean, you pay your monthly mortgage bill and you get shelter. You pay your monthly credit card bill and you don't go to jail. Collectors don't call. Yes, but here, if we pay our bill of love one to another, we are blessed beyond what we consider. In the very act of loving each other, that's how you pay the debt of love, is to give love. And this is one of the things about God which is contrary to wisdom or the world. Okay, we tend to think of things as finite. And if I give it away or if I buy it down, it's going to be less. But love actually, the more I give away love, the more love I have. If you give me love, but I don't give you any love back in return, I have less love than what I started with. But if we give away love, if we love others, we will have more. We can't give it away. It's like if we're in a boat and we're bailing. Now, every time we bail, if we put a hole in the boat that was the same size as our bail bucket, we're not going to get that boat ever empty. And that's kind of what it's like. Think of that picture. Every time I give away love, we have a new inflow of fresh love. And that's to be our continuing debt. That's the only thing that we owe. We owe it to everybody. And we don't just owe it to special people. I don't owe it just to my wife, whom I do owe it to, yes, but not just her. And I don't owe it to just you, who are members and attendees here at Northbrook. And I don't owe it to just those people who are members of my extended family, but I owe it to everybody. Now we need to remember the definition of love. Now some of you may have heard this before, but bear with me. Love is selfless, loyal, benevolent concern for the well-being of another person. Do you love somebody? In other words, are you putting their concerns, their needs in front of your own? Selfless. Is it loyal? Well, they were mean to me last time I helped them, so I'm not going to do it this time. No, loyal would be, well, doesn't matter. I'm still going to still love you. You know, parents kind of like go through that. All kids go through the phase where I hate you. I don't know why, but every kid says that to their parent at one point in time or another. Sometimes many times. Sometimes at different times in their lives. But the fact of the matter is that they don't hate you. They do love you. But yet, well, what's the parental response? The correct parental response, in case you didn't know, is, I love you. And even though your child says that they hate you, you say, that's okay, I love you anyways. And some of us say, yeah, we've done that. Well, that's the way we're supposed to react with everybody. Oh, everybody? Yeah. And then we're supposed to do those things that are best for them. Benevolent concern for the well-being of another person. It's not do whatever it is they want. You know, some of us want things that aren't good for us. I like, well, okay, if we just name the food group, I guess we could say I like. But I don't need as much as I like. So I try not to go out as often as I like, and I try to eat, and I try to not eat as large a portions, and I try. And if you love me, you won't say, oh, have some more. Because that's not benevolent concern for my well-being. That's just saying, get past your fat enough and he'll croak. You know, if you want a new pastor, just say leave. Don't feed me up till I... Sometimes we think it's loving, though. Well, he likes that. He likes those... Donna makes roadside potatoes. Okay, you know what roadside potatoes are? Heart attack in a bowl. Okay. It's hash brown potatoes with a quart of cream, a pound of cheese, Parmesan, and a pound of butter. I love it. Wonder why. Okay. I would sit down and eat an entire pan. That's not good for me. So as much as I may like it, you know, it's not, you know, I can have a serving, maybe two. But, you know, after the fourth or fifth serving, maybe I should stop. And maybe, you know, Donna will not make the super large portion. You know, we don't need to make the for just the two of us, we don't need to make the 5-quart pan of it. You know, the 1-quart pan is plenty big for two. Maybe even four. But that seems silly. But it's not. You know, even though it's what I want, it's not good for me. And I shouldn't always be getting what just because I want something. Don't try to placate me by giving me what I want if it's not what's good for me. That's not love. That's just not healthy behavior. Instead, what we need to do is do what's best for people. I've used the illustration 100 times. Small child reaches up to the stove for something on the stove. What do? You slap their hand. Whether there's something hot up on the stove or not. Why? Because there might be something hot up on the stove next time and you might not be standing there. So you slap their hand so that they don't reach up there, so that they don't hurt themselves when you're not there to protect them. That is benevolent concern for the well-being. You didn't hit the child's hand because you hated the child. You hit the child's hand because you loved them and wanted to protect them. You don't take away the roadside potatoes from me because you hate me. You do it because you know that if I eat too much, I'm going to die. This is supposed to be our action towards one another. Particularly within the Christian community. We're to love our neighbor as ourselves, it says. Now, the interesting thing tells us here that by living this lifestyle of love, we fulfill the law. People are all concerned about keeping the commandments and doing this and that. If I am acting in a truly loving manner towards everybody I meet, I have and will fulfill all the commandments that God has placed in the Scriptures. That's easy. All I have to do is be loving towards people. And every commandment that God made, I'm keeping. Yep. It's true. I know it's true because God says it right here through Paul. Love does not harm, does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. We fulfill the law by loving each other. Now, the most loving thing that we can do to those who don't know Christ is to share Christ with them. Because without Christ, what's their condition? Lost. Anybody enjoy being lost? Other than guys who don't want to ask for directions while they're driving. But, no, people don't like being lost. They don't want to be lost. They want to be saved. Therefore, the most loving thing we can do is to share God's love, the gospel message. Now, it's not always the first thing out of the box. As we've been discussing in our Sunday school class, is you just don't tell people that, you know, you don't come against what they teach right off. Basically, you need to build relationship and show them. You need to build that relationship. You need to maybe take care of some of those felt needs that they have That's the example that Jesus gave us. He healed the blind. He helped those who were living in sin. And then He presented the gospel. Helped them to get away from those problems. Then He presented the kingdom of heaven. Now we're to do all this, having this attitude of running around in our life every day to day, paying our bills, and continually trying to pay off the debt of love. Every day, we've got to make payments. Got to make payments on that debt of love. Now again, like I said, the more love you give away, the more love you have. Anybody here not like feeling loved? Anybody, pretty much everybody likes feeling loved, don't they? Don't you love? I love being loved. To feel appreciated. You guys are really good to me. You know, birthday cards and things like that, I get that, people write little notes, love you or this, that. It means something. It's just not a thing. If it's a throwaway something for you, it actually means something to me. You may have said, and then, wow, somebody actually does care. Do things for each other. You call somebody who's having an issue. You visit. You help out. Sometimes you just listen. Giving advice isn't always what people want or need. It's sometimes just an ear to hear. And if you do that, those are loving behaviors. And the more you do that, the more love you have and the people feel loved. God's economy, you can't give it away. You run out of love, though, when you try to hold on to it and you don't have it anymore. And then you're unable to pay that continuing debt because you don't have the currency. But you can get it just by giving it away. Okay. I have a $20 bill in my wallet. If I told you that if I gave you a $20 bill and I looked in my wallet, there would be two $20 bills, you would say, you got a magic wallet. And if I could actually give two $20 bills for every $20 bill I gave away, I would be giving out $20 bills to everybody. And so would you if your wallet could do that, wouldn't you? Yes. You'd be walking, standing in the corner, here, let me give you a $20 bill. Why? Because if I give you one, I got two in my wallet. That means that they multiply. So the more I give away, the more I have. That's God's economy. Now we're to do that and live this way with the understanding of our present time. What is our present time? Is that we're closer to seeing Jesus, meeting Jesus, than we were yesterday. That salvation and the reality of it is closer. Whether we're talking about Jesus returning in the second coming and the reign here on earth, or we're talking about us going to meet Him in person first. Either way, we're closer to it today than we were yesterday. We're closer to it now than we were at the beginning of the sermon. And the reality is, none of us knows when that's going to happen for any of us. We might all live here another 40 years. And some of you here say, I don't want to live another 40 years. Some of you are saying, I don't want to live 40, I want to live another 80. Well, we don't know. Could be 4 years or 40 years. Could be 4 months or 4 minutes. We don't know. But we're supposed to live understanding that the hour is when to wake up. We're not supposed to be slumbering, waiting for it to happen to us. We're supposed to be out there active, taking it to the world that's out there, taking the love of God, living a life, love, not living one in sin, but living one of sharing love. Now remember, as long as we're living the life of love, we will fulfill the law, because we won't do things which are non-loving. Non-loving equates to sin. We won't act in these ways. We won't be seeking after the desires of the flesh, of our sinful nature. Instead, we're to be putting on what? The armor of light. That is Christ. We're supposed to be living our lives like Christ. We're supposed to be putting on Him and how we live, follow His actions and how we act. And as we do so, that's active. We're going to interact with the world and be ready when that time comes. When either the trumpet sounds and we see the Lord come for all of creation, or individually we're called to be with God. And it can happen in the blink of an eye. At any age. As a police chaplain now, my first call that I went to was a Sid's death. Just a 4-month-old baby. I've also been on calls for people who had died in their bed after many years of life and were ready to go. And to those all in between. But for the most part, none of them were expecting to go when they went. Very, very, very few were expecting to go at the time that they actually went. For the hour has come to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So set aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Don't be chasing after the stuff of the world. Hold God close. Put Him on. And then you will live a life where you are painting out love to those young. And this other stuff, you don't have to worry about fulfilling the law. You don't have to worry about trying to check off, am I doing this right? Am I doing that right? It's all about your attitude of, am I being loving towards others? And when we do that through the guidance of Christ, you know what? We have fulfilled the law. You have fulfilled the law. You don't need to worry about it. On top of that, you've been forgiven by accepting Christ, but yet as Christians, remember, we are still supposed to seek to follow the walk of Christ. So it's not okay for us to live sinful lives, even though we're not perfect. But in doing this, living this life this way, where we just take, say, love is our goal, what we've done is we've removed the things that make it more difficult to follow God. Which is easier, to follow a checklist of 306 rules, I think it is, or is it easier to follow a checklist of one? If we do the one, we've covered the rest. Now, again, this doesn't get us saved. What this does is it helps us to live the benefit of being saved and to be a vehicle by which others can come to know Christ too. And people, that's well worthwhile. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have designated us as your children. And that you have told us how we can best live that way by loving one another. So Lord, help us to be loving in our actions to each other. Lord, it's not always easy. But Lord, we do know that there is benefit in it. So Father, we come to you today. And we ask that you would help us to remain in your love. Help us to put on that armor of light. To live like our Lord Jesus Christ. In complete obedience to you and your will. That we might be a blessing to those around us and receive the benefits of being redeemed here on earth and in heaven. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we close. We're going to sing All I Need Is You.